love that song. A place of freedom. You know, on this Memorial Day weekend, that is just such fitting words. Do you feel that this morning? Do you feel that you are in a place of freedom? These last couple months, I don't know if we feel like we've been in a place of physical freedom, but I tell you what, in Jesus Christ, I certainly feel like I am in a spiritual freedom. Nothing controls that. No person has me held captive for that. That is my relationship with my God and how I pursue Him. This weekend, we celebrate our physical freedom because of the lives that were sacrificed for you and I. It reminds me of my spiritual freedom and the life that Jesus Christ sacrificed for me and you. That's why we sing. There's a place of freedom. There's a freedom now that I enjoy because of a soldier that gave his or her life and my Savior Jesus Christ who gave up his life. So let's pray as we pursue freedom in Jesus, a higher calling right there in your living room. Bow your heart, grab the hands of your kids, put your coffee down, and let's go to the throne of the living God and just thank Him for the very freedom, both physical and spiritual, that we enjoy, no matter what you see, no matter what you hear, no matter what the news tells you, you, no matter what, can always be free. Father, Lord, we thank you for that freedom today. Lord, I celebrate that freedom that the soldier laid down his and her life to provide to me. I thank you, Lord God, that there's a spiritual freedom that I have accepted because of Jesus Christ laying down his life on a cross. And today, Lord God, this Memorial Day weekend, it is so fitting, Lord God, that you selected this weekend to move us forward as a state, as a country, as a world, to take us from where we've been to where you're going to place us in a new place of freedom. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Welcome, everybody that's watching online to Calvary Church. This is going to be a great morning for not only me, but you as well. We are 2 weeks away from assembling back here in our worship center at Calvary Church. We're going to come in 2 weeks ready to go to another level in Jesus Christ, or our relationship with Him. If you want to continue to stay connected to our church as we continue to remind you, just check out the Facebook page that you're watching right now at Calvary for Canton. Right there on your screen, you should see that. That will continue to give you the updates that you need, continue to push out information so you can find out what is going on with your church. And for those that are visiting with us this morning, we welcome you. We have a special gift for you, and that special gift is we're praying for you because we believe that God is speaking to you, not only just like He has spoken to us as believers here at this fellowship, but speaking to you is, where do I go? What church do I now attend when the things start to reopen? Because we're looking for a new season in God, and you are certainly welcome to join us at Calvary Church. Hey, if you want to continue to keep the updates coming to you via the text messages that we send out, don't forget, just grab that short number of 24251, put that in the number section of your message on your phone, and then put in the message section towards Calvary, number 4 for Canton, just like it says on the bottom of your screen right now. And you send that to us, and we will put you on the list. Do that right now. We asked you to do that last week, and we had people coming forward, adding themselves. We love to see that. Great way to get some information out to you. And don't forget, you can continue to give and bless Calvary Church online at calvarylife.church. Bottom of your screen right now, it tells you how to do that. You're being so faithful. We just want to say thank you. It has been an awesome, awesome thing to see God's people rally around God's house here at Calvary Church and continue to bless us. It is just warms my heart as the pastor, and we thank you for that. Continue to bless us as God continues to show himself favor to your life. Bless his favor. Now, we're, like I said, 2 weeks away. 2 weeks. We are starting to say, what can we do in the next couple weeks to welcome you back? So we've got some special things planned. Now, I understand that you're probably going to say, well, I'm not sure I'm coming back on that Sunday, June 7th, Pastor, but that's okay. And if you decide that that's what you want to do, great. We're waiting to see you. But if you come back and you feel like you have to wear a mask or hazmat suit or whatever you feel like you have to do, that's okay. You're welcome to come back. We love you. We have some special gifts for you. And if you're a visitor and you want to come into our church, you are certainly, certainly welcome. But we're going to resume that on Sunday, June 7th. Now, this is really unique because we're doing now an all-church fast that we started officially last Sunday. It launched a Wednesday night, kind of unofficially before that, but then we launched it officially so we could let you know that that started last week. And in 21 days, it will end. And that's the day, June 7th, that we'll be back here at Calvary Church. So I will encourage you to continue your fast, whatever God has asked you to do. And you know the story that we fasted for 21 days before we came into our new worship center here at Calvary Church. And we landed here first Sunday of February after a 21-day fast. This situation that has come upon our nation and the world shows up, and we're out of here, out of the building. But the church never left. The church just left a physical building, but the Church of Jesus Christ continued on. So we're doing this 21-day fast. We pray that you are joining with us and doing that alongside with us. The leadership here at Calvary Church participating. We know that the worship team and many of you are doing that. We thank you. Hey, we're going to continue to do the Wednesday evening praise and prayer for a couple more weeks here as we round out the month of May. Then we're going to move into June, and we're going to do those services still online. We're going to continue with the online service in June, July, and August for the praise and prayer nights. But they're going to be one Wednesday in June, and that will be June 10th. June 10th, Wednesday, June 10th, we'll be right here online at the praise and prayer service. And then July 15th, we'll do that as well. And then we haven't set the day for August, but we'll let you know that here very, very soon. I just want to say once again, as Nicole mentioned, today being Memorial Day weekend and tomorrow being Memorial Day, I pray that you're going to celebrate your freedom. And like we talked in the prayer, you have this physical freedom that a soldier laid down his or her life to give you. And our Lord Jesus Christ gave us our spiritual freedom by laying down his life so we could accept him as Lord and Savior. So we just want to make sure that you are loved and you realize that we are celebrating with you, even though we're physically not in the building online. I would pray that you celebrate tomorrow, that you remember what the day is all about. It's certainly not about parades. It's certainly not about barbecues, although those are fun things to do. But let's continue to pray and continue to believe and celebrate why we have a Memorial Day. It's a very sobering thought, but we have it because we honor those men and women that lay down their lives for us. And specifically, talking about soldiers, you know, we have one of our own, Michaela Longbreak, who just graduated from Marines basic training and now is a full-fledged Marine. We talked about her story here a week or so ago. We also have Noah Evans, and I don't want to leave anybody out. And he's in the United States Army. God bless them both, and others that have served through our local fellowship here, we honor you and we thank you that you are heading out to help us maintain our physical freedom. Hey, we're going to move right into our message this morning. We've been starting this series called Pursuit. And we're going to do that for the next 3 weeks. We started it last week. We'll do it for the next 3 weeks. And we talked about last week, pursuing what? Today, I'm going to talk about where is the pursuit? And boy, this might get a little tricky, so pay attention. And next week, we'll talk about when is the pursuit? And then the Sunday that you're back in this house, we're going to have a powerful day because we're going to be preaching on how do I do it? Pastor, how do I do it? How do I pursue the Lord Jesus Christ and God? And how do I, what's that all look like? Well, what's pursuing meaning? What's the meaning of to pursue? And this is just a little bit of a review. We talked about it last week. It means to accomplish something. It means to gain something that you didn't already have. Get to another level or something. It's an act by you and I that we push ourselves forward to get or gain something. You accomplish something when you pursue. And we said, what is the pursuit last week? What exactly is the pursuit? And I use the phrase that I'm starting not to like when we hear it on the news. It's this new normal thing that we talked about last week. I'm going to pursue, and we challenged you to pursue a new normal in God, a new situation in your personal life that doesn't look the same, doesn't act the same. It is completely maybe different than what it used to be, but now we're going to move into this new normal, and that's what we challenged you last week to do. But today, where is it? Where's this new normal? Where is it at? That's what I wanted to chat with you about this morning. You know, wow, it's just kind of got me a little perplexed because it's not a physical location. Maybe it's more of a spiritual location. Maybe it's more like that, and maybe it's a little of both. And it's not maybe a physical place that you could actually walk or drive to, but maybe it is. It's just something that God lays on your heart. But this is going to be a challenge for us today, because I think that what God is doing is what he has been dealing with your pastor for quite some time. God, what do you want me to do? Where is this you want me to go? What is it? What is it and where is it? And when do I do it? And then how do I do it? And God's been dealing with me on this for so long, and it's so fitting that the message for the next 4 weeks is exactly that. So this is timely. This is exactly what God wants from us today. So where is this new normal? What is it? It's a deeper walk with God. So where is that deeper walk with God for you and I? Where is it? See, sometimes we just get really stuck in this position that we're in, and we want to pursue something different, and we say, I don't know where to go. I certainly don't know what it looks like. What is this deeper walk with God? Or maybe it's just a new calling. Maybe it's just something God wants me to do new. See, we always want to be pursuing a deeper walk. And you always want to be looking for the next calling that God may place on your life. You know, I kind of divvy them up like this. I say, if you're a pastor, you get called a lot, you know, and the same with you. People, you know, that are not pastors, but, you know, a lot of times it's maybe just a leading. The Holy Spirit leads you someplace or leads you to do something. And that's kind of how I differentiate sometimes, you know, and we're going to talk about what that looks like here today. But, you know, where is it? It's a deeper level in God or a new calling. To understand that, we really need to chat about seasons, biblical seasons. You know, the Bible is full of this word season. And I think we know what that means. But as I studied and studied on this, I thought, you know, I know as well as maybe I thought I did. And I learned something. I love that. You think the pastors don't learn. We probably would learn more than you think. The season really jumped out at me because I thought, wow, that I didn't really capture that before. And it's a period of time. Yeah, we get that part. It's a period of time or a specific time period. But normally, it's like a range of time. But the really unique thing about this range of time is something happens during the range of time or that period. Something happens. That's what makes it a season. See, we're in the summer season here, really shortly. I think we're there, right? Is it, what is it? Is it May 21st? It's officially, no, it's June now. Let me think here. Yeah, it's June. So we're not there. We're still in the May, you know, the May time. So we've got a little time to go before we get into the summer season. Then the fall season, then the season of winter, which I don't like to talk about because I don't like it. That's the cold season. And then we get back to the spring season. But there's seasons, periods of time where something happens. The same thing happens biblically. The same thing happens in the Bible where there's a period of time and then something happens. Same thing happens for you and I. And we'll talk about that here this morning. Something's going to happen during that time. Look what the scripture says in Ecclesiastes 3:1. Now, the New King James Version of the Bible really speaks it well, and it goes like this. To everything, there's a season, a time of every purpose under heaven. And then you look at what some of the other versions of the Bible say, and the New American Standard Bible verses says Ecclesiastes 3:1 like this. There is an appointed time for everything. That makes you kind of go, right? There's an appointed time of everything. There is a time for every event under heaven. There is the situations that occur during the season. Now we have this period of time. We've got something that's going to happen during that period of time. But here's what I get. Everything has a season. Everything has this time. So that, like, that's me, and that's you as well. And so I get to thinking, what's some of the Bible seasons? You know, what's some of the ones you see in the Bible? And a few come to my mind. There's a harvest season. You know, you read about that, especially like in the Old Testament, whatnot. There's this harvest. There's a reaping season. Talks about, you know. There's other seasons. There's the season of opportunity. Time frames where there's tremendous things that happen, this opportunity shows up, right? There's seasons of fulfillment of prophetic things all through the Word of God. And there's these seasons, prophetic things happen in that season, right? There's a time suitable for purposes in these seasons. But let me read you a couple seasons that you're probably more familiar with. Go like this. How about the season of dryness? Dry season. I've heard this. I'm in this dry season, Pastor. Here's the season that we hear more than any of them. I'm in the waiting season. Just waiting. God's got me in this waiting season. What happens during that period of time, that season? I'm waiting. It's waiting season. How long you waiting? Don't know. What are you waiting on? I'm not sure. How long you been? Don't know. You know, it's a wait. God's got you in this wait. Here's the season for you. Busy season. Now, I know some of you got that season. You got that season down packed. Busy season. Pastor, I'm too busy. I just can't do it. Too busy. I just can't do it. Just too busy. It's a business season, you know. Here's the season. Tests and trials. Trials and tribulation season. We've been in that season. Here's a season for you. Spiritual warfare season. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, the Bible says. Against principalities. Spiritual dimension, right? There's a spiritual warfare season. Seems like, right? Here's a season for you. A happy season. A lot of the people are going into the happy season because they get to go out now. They get to go to their favorite restaurants, favorite gym, right? You get to go wherever those places that make you happy. My wife is getting into the happy season because she gets to go to the stores. Specifically, the shoe stores makes her happy. So she's getting this happy season. That's her season. She's starting to move it, but we're all moving it. But my point is, God takes us into these seasons. The Bible's full of seasons. How does that season affect your pursuit of where you're headed? I'm glad you asked. Glad you asked that question. I saw you sitting at home. Yeah, I see that too. You need to be careful. Don't spill coffee, because this one's going to get just a little bit challenging this morning. So, where is my deeper walk season? And why am I not already there? See, sometimes we think we're already there. We've made it. It's kind of like sometimes we feel like we've already arrived. There's no place else to go. There's no deeper walk I need to pursue. That's a dangerous season. That's a dangerous season. There's always a deeper walk. There's always more to learn. There's always a place to go in God. So where do I pursue this deeper season in God or this new calling? Why am I not already there? Here's a thought for you. To know where you're going, you first need to know where you're at. Wow, that's pretty inspirational. Yeah, I know where you're at before you can get anywhere else, right? And see, pursuing means going from where you are to where God wants you to be. That's the pursuit. Where is that? God always wants you to be in a deeper pursuit of Him. Always. The pursuit to where is always wrapped around a deeper walk with God. But here's what happens to us as believers. We get stuck in what I call the transition season. That transition season is where I am to where God wants me to be in a deeper relationship or a higher calling. I get myself in this transitional season and I get stuck there. What's the transitional season? You're asking that right now. I'm going to tell you. It's what I believe is called the proving season. The faithfulness season. Let me give you a story. I just asked my daughter here a few minutes ago, hey, can I give you a story? Here's the story. Very good. She right away is scared to death of what I'm going to say. But she's, okay, Dad, because she trusted me, so I'll be careful here. But you probably heard this story before, but bigger story happened this past week. You know, we tried to teach our kids the best we could as they were growing up how to give to God, how to be honoring your tithes, honoring the house of God with your tithes and offerings, and how the Bible talks about just test beyond this. You've heard me talk about that before. Many of you are doing exactly that, blessing the Calvary House. And God is being faithful to you. That exact same thing happened during the transitional time for my daughter in the proving ground of her faithfulness this past week. This company that she did some work for owed her a lot of money. Lots of money. And she could not get this company to pay her. Okay? There's a lot of money there. She unfortunately was laid off during the situation that we're experiencing here. And is displaced, a displaced worker. But she's done exactly what she continued to do, and she gave. She gave. She's proving herself faithful. Now, many of you are doing the same thing, and God's blessing your life. You know exactly what I'm talking about. In this transitional time that we're in right now, just physically with what, everything that's gone on in our lives the last few months, she continues to be faithful. And all of a sudden this past week, within a couple of days, she gave me the story about how she sent in her tithe, and she did it online, CalvaryLife.church, right? And she sent in her tithe, and within 2 days of continuing to be faithful, God's outpouring shows up, and the company that owed her all this money sent it to her. And the funny part about it is it showed up today, in the middle of the night. What a testimony. It doesn't happen usually because it's a direct deposit type of thing. But that season of transition, she continues to remain faithful. That's the faithfulness. And then another situation happened. This unemployment, and all the many of you that are suffering with this unemployment and the mess of all the people going to the unemployment, my daughter is in that mess, and she continues to show herself faithful to heaven, continues to pay her tithes and offerings, and that whole situation was resolved for her in an instant. The season of transition is the season of proving ground. But here are some things that happen in the season of transition. As you're going from where you're at to where God has for you. How do you know you're there in this season? And here's what some of the things I've experienced, and many of you have experienced, where we're feeling this restlessness, this, I'm just not content. And for some, you live there for a long, long, long time, because you're in that transitional season from where you are to where God has you, and you're kind of right there in the middle. And you feel this restlessness, you don't know why, you're just not content, and you don't know why. This is why. I'm telling you why. And things start to stir inside of you, and you can't stop it, and you're living like this, and you're just not sure why. That's why. You're in the transitional time of proving yourself faithful with everything, because God has a place for you, and you want to get to there. Here's a question for you. Your pursuit of God. Where is this pursuit of God, and what does it depend on? So you're in this transitional season of proving yourself, and God's got some things for you to look at. And I am going to give you this morning what I think are the big three. The big three things while you are seeking this new place. Where is it? To deeper walk with Christ. But I'm going to give you what I believe are the big three things to get us out of this place that we're in and take us to the next level. And when we come back here on June 7th, I'm going to preach on how we get it done. But I'm going to give you the three things today to help you get out of this season of transition and get you going in that direction. And I'm going to use one of the scriptures I used last week. But I'm going to give you this. Here we go. So where your pursuit of God goes depends on a few things. So where you get to depends on a few things. And here's the first one. I call this Abraham's transition season. I call it accepting the assignment. Let's read it in Genesis 12, 1 through 4. We read it last week. Watch it come alive to you even more so. It goes like this. The Lord said to Abram. Now, this is before Abraham's name was changed. He's Abram. Why? He's in a transitional season. He's going to go to a much deeper place for God. Watch how it unfolds. The Lord says to Abram, go from your country, your comfort zone, your people, and your father's household to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the people on earth will be blessed because of you and through you. So Abram says, okay. And what does Abram do? He went, the Bible says, as the Lord instructed him to. I call that accepting the assignment. And you know the story that his name is changed from Abram to Abraham. He accepts the assignment that God gave him. See, a lot of times we end up in the transitional phase, the season, because we don't accept the assignment. God laid out the assignment. Abraham said, okay. And the two big words of that scripture are, go. God says, go. And Abraham went. A lot of times God says, go, we don't go. We don't get to the went part. We stay in this season because we are in transition because we didn't accept the assignment. But Abraham departed. Now see, he left everything he knew. A lot of times we don't want to do that. Left his family, left his homeland. The Bible says he left his household. And he went. God told him what those things were, but God didn't tell him in that scripture how they played out. He just gave the list. And that's how God, I think, does it sometimes. He just says, here's the list, but I'm not going to give you the detail until you accept the assignment. You know, it's kind of like this. It's kind of like a young lady from our church, Michaela Longbreak, who just won to the Marines and graduated from Marines. They tell you you're going to be a Marine, or Noah Evans, who just graduated from boot camp here not too long ago from the United States Army. They tell you the assignment is to be in the Marines or in the Army, but they don't give you the details of what you're expected to do. So you've got to accept the assignment that you're going to raise your hand and say, I'm going to go do it. And they know there's a lot of work involved. It's painful. But they never know what the details are of the assignment. Funny thing about being in the military is once you get to the details of the assignment, you can't say no. You're still going to go. That's accepting the assignment. See, in the physical, there is a great example of accepting the assignment. What leads us to accept the assignment like that? Faith. Faith leads us. Faith led Abraham to accept that assignment. You have to accept the assignment on pure faith. If you want to get to that next season in God, wherever that may be, whatever that looks like, the new normal in your life, you've got to accept the assignment. Just like Abraham did. Here's a thought for you. See, listen, goes like this. Your willingness to go determines how big the assignment from God will be. Your willingness to accept the assignment will determine how big that assignment's going to play out. That's where you're going to end up. No details. See, that's the faith. Here's the next point. It goes like this. Where your pursuit of God goes depends on something else. Okay? So the first one is, we've got to accept the assignment. Here's the second one. I call this Samuel's transition, accepting the risk. Reads like this. 1 Samuel 16:1-4. And I read it bottom of your screen as you're watching. The Lord says to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am now sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I've chosen one of his sons to be king. Samuel says, wait, how can I go there? If Saul hears about me, he'll will probably kill me. Because God, you rejected him as king, and I had to remove him, and he's got to be mad. I can't go there. The guy's going to probably kill me. He's not happy with me. The Lord says, take a heifer with you and say, I'm coming to town to do a sacrifice for the Lord. That wasn't a lie. He took a heifer. He went in there to do a sacrifice to the Lord, but he was on a secret mission. The real secret mission was, I'm going to go find the next king of God's people. And I'm going to sacrifice this to God. And then the scripture moves on and says, invite Jesse to the sacrifice. But it's really in stealth mode, because I have other plans. But we're still going to honor God and have a sacrifice. And I'll show you then what to do. You're going to anoint for me now the person I indicate to you to be the next king of my people. Accepting the risk. There's a risk involved to go out of your transitional season to get to where God wants you to be. There's some risk. A lot of times we don't want to sue him. But Samuel says, okay, I'm going to go assume this risk. I'm going to go into the town. See, here's the story. Saul was the king. He was appointed king, but he wasn't really appointed king by God. You know why? Because people lived in fear. And back in the Bible time, they lived in so much fear, they just wanted an earthly king. And the scripture says they looked at other kingdoms on earth, you know, physical kingdoms, and said, I want what they have. Oh, we don't do that here, do we? They looked at other kingdoms and said, I want that. I want what they have. They've got a ruler. They've got a king. And they cried out. God's people cried out. God would say, no, listen, you've got a king. It's me. And they cried, oh, we want an earthly king. I want an earthly king. We want what everybody else has. And God says, no, you got me. You don't need anybody. You got me. And they, no. God finally says, okay. Yeah. Just fine. Who do you want? Saul was appointed king. It wasn't God's choice. But now Samuel's being in task to go accept some risk, because Saul was removed as king, so he's not happy, and so Samuel's going into town to look for somebody else. Now, it's kind of like you have this big job, and you know they're interviewing for the job, and very shortly they're going to remove you from the job. And you know it's coming. You're a little bitter. Samuel accepted the risk. He headed out into town to find the person. But you see, the scripture says this. It says, go into town, do what I tell you, accept the risk, then I'll tell you who I'm going to appoint. Now read it there. It says that. So he accepts this risk like you and I are called to do. Accept some risk. If you want to get to a deeper relationship with God, if you want to go from where you're at and pursue and get to where God has for you, you've got to accept some risk. You got to accept the risk. A lot of times we don't like that, so we won't do it. But I'm finding something going on right now that really has me intrigued. People are accepting all kinds of risk now to go to their favorite restaurant, to go to their favorite store, their favorite park, wherever. All of a sudden, after a period of transition, they got tired. Many of you are in the same boat. You're tired of being told what to do. So you think, I'm going to assume some risk, wherever they are, and I'm going to venture out to get my freedom back. God expects us to do that in the spiritual dimension to get a deeper relationship with him. Proving ground of faithfulness. Do we really believe what we say? right? Here's the thought for you. Listen, it goes like this. Fear will always slow down your pursuit of God. Just like fear always slowed us down for these last few months on our pursuit of our normal daily life. Now, all of a sudden, being in that transition for so long, people are at that season, that period of time where something's going on, the period of time where we were told to stay home, now we're saying, well, I'm going to accept some risk. Exactly what God does. God told Samuel, accept some risk, do what I tell you, and once you get there, then I will reveal to you who I want to be king. What a powerful story for today. What's going on today in your life right now? See, when you come back into this house on Sunday, June 7th at 10 o'clock, I don't want you to come back looking the same you were when you left. I want you to have this pursuit in your life unlike any other season of your life. I want you out of the transitional time of proving anything. I want you to come back in here at Calvary Church on Sunday. You are going to be energized spiritually for what God has for the next season of our church and the next season of your personal life. So where's the pursuit of God goes, where it depends on one more thing. One more thing. I call it Solomon's transition. The accepting of the baton passing. 1 Chronicles 29, 26 through 28 reads like this. Back to David. David, son of Jesse. Now here's the king that Samuel appointed. Now we're advancing. David, son of Jesse, was king over Israel. Here's the appointment of the king. Now he has served. He ruled over Israel for 40 years, 7 in Hebron, and then 33 years in Jerusalem. 40 years. He died at a good old age. He died at a good old age. We all want to hear that. Died at a good old age. Having enjoyed a long life of wealth and honor, his son Solomon succeeded him as king. Solomon was asked to be king. He didn't go to school for it. He didn't go through classes. He didn't have a degree. He accepted this baton passing assignment. If you want to go to a deeper relationship with God over there, you've got to accept the baton passing assignment. You have no idea what that looks like. You have no idea. You're going to go into some situations blind. God's going to ask you to take the baton, pick up where the previous person left off for the next season. Pastors do that all the time. People do that all the time. But you've got to be willing to come back into Calvary Church on Sunday, June 7th, and get ready to accept the baton for wherever God's going to send us. Story continues in 2 Chronicles 1, verse 7, and then 10 through 12. Watch what happens. So this guy, Solomon, goes in blind. Told you, a teaching day today. And it goes like this. That night, God and Solomon start having some conversations. He's king. Let's have some conversations. That night, God appeared to Solomon and said, oh, what are you going to do if God appears to you and says, why didn't you accept the baton pass? That night, God appeared to Solomon and said to him, hey, ask for whatever you want me to give you. See, Solomon accepted the baton passing assignment. And so now God shows up and says, listen, you did good. What do you want? That's exactly what that says. Solomon says this. Give me wisdom and knowledge that I may go out before this people. But who can rule this great nation of people of yours? God said to Solomon, because you had this in mind and didn't ask for riches or wealth or honor or the life of those that hate you. You didn't want to go after their lives and kill them, the people that didn't like you. Nor have you even asked for a long life, the Bible says. But you have asked for yourself wisdom and knowledge that you may rule then my people. In other words, he didn't ask for anything for himself. He asked for wisdom and knowledge to go back and give to God's people that he was going to rule over wisdom and knowledge. So he didn't do it for himself. So the baton was passed to his life, and he moved into it blind. And then God was so impressed, he said, what do you want? He says, just give me knowledge and wisdom. I need that because I have no idea what I'm doing. But I go to you, Father, and I need you to tell me how to do it. I need you to tell me how to go from where I was, grab the baton, and go over there and rule your people. Now I'm king. I don't want the riches and the honor and the glory. I just want to do a great job for you. Give me the baton and bless it. That's what he asked for. What a powerful story. I don't know if you've ever looked at it like that. Give me this wisdom and knowledge, and therefore God granted him. I will give you riches and wealth and honor such as none of the kings have ever seen. Their scripture now goes into, hey, God says, okay, I'm going to give you wisdom and I'm going to give you knowledge. And he pours that into his life. Solomon, the wisest man in the Bible. But then God comes back with this powerful thing is, I'm now going to give you honor. I'm going to give you riches. I'm going to give you wealth more than any king or person has ever had and more than anyone will ever have. I'm going to heap that on you. Why? Because you took the baton and you didn't ask for anything for yourself when I asked you, what do you want? You could have said, hey, I want a new car. I want a bigger house. I want more money. I want a better job. He didn't say that. He said, God, just give me more wisdom and knowledge to serve you better. God said, I'll give it to you. And the reward that showed up, he says, I'll now give you the riches and honor and whatnot, because his heart was right. And I will give you riches and wealth and honor such as none the kings have ever seen before. What a powerful, powerful statement. And here's the thought as we move to bring it in for a landing. It says, the motive behind your pursuit determines how God uses you. The motive behind your pursuit of a deeper walk with Christ determines how God can use you. See, problem is motive. We get ourselves in this transitional time, this season. We are stuck there for a long time because the motive is the accepting of the baton didn't have pure motives, but for Solomon it did. What's your motive today, church? What are we thinking and saying and praying for as we pray for this new normal? What's behind your prayer? What's behind your prayer for the 21 days of fasting that we're in? What are we really seeking here? What are we really pursuing? My challenge last week to you was, what is the pursuit? It's a new normal in God. Where is it? It's wherever God wants to take you. That's where it's at. Wow. Did you have any idea? Where is it, Pastor? It's wherever God wants it to be. That's where it's at. It's also called purpose. But it's really, where is it? That's where it's at. Wherever God says it is. 2 weeks, you're going to find out how to get there. Next week, you're going to find out when is it. And then you're going to find out how to get there. You know, pursuing this new season in God, where God wants to take us, you and I, and church and people, it's going to take effort, energy, focus. It takes work. You've got to be willing to accept the assignment, whatever it is. You've got to be willing to accept the risk, whatever they are. You've got to be willing to accept the baton passing, whatever that looks like. To move out of this place where we're at, to go to where God wants to take us. As church, as people. Listen, it's easier to sit and do nothing than to get up than to get up and do something. We said that last week. It's easy to sit and do nothing. That's not what God wants. God wants to take us from where we're at, and he wants us to pursue where he wants us to be. Out of the season of transition, out of the proving ground, accept the assignment, accept the risk, accept the baton passing, and just go and do exactly what Abraham did. He went. I want you to activate your pursuit of God today. I want you to do something and then watch what God does. I want you to come back into Calvary Church on Sunday, June 7th at 10 o'clock. I want you to come back pursuing God like you have never pursued him. Accepting the risk, accepting the assignments, accepting the baton passing. Do whatever it takes for God to take us from where we're at to where he wants us to be. To go to the next level in God. A deeper walk with God. And you do that, and you will see your life transform. An outpouring of power under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. God will take you and do great and mighty things, better than he has ever done with you in the past. Your season is coming. Let's pray for that season. Lord God, in Jesus' name. Lord God, we pray for that season where you want to take us. Lord God, we'll do it. We'll accept the risk, Lord God. We'll accept the assignment, Lord God. Lord, give us the baton. We'll go. We'll go. Get out of this transition, God, and we will go because you've called us and we want to. Lord, we're ready. Lord, bless everybody watching online. Lord, give them this outpouring, Lord. Give them everything they need to get to where you want them to be. God will honor you for that, and you'll honor us for that and heap a powerful blessing upon us. Why? Because your scripture says you will. We thank you for that, Lord God. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. We're praying for you here at Calvary Church. We believe in you. We can't wait to see you on Sunday, June 7th. You get ready, because God's got a new season in store for you. Have a great weekend.